starting at the bottom of Tetvav Amud Bet. Now we're talking about this dirt that he takes from the ground of the Mishkan, right, or the Beit HaMikdash, for all intents and purposes. We'll see this today. Tana Rabbanan. So we're now Makom Hayasham Amal Aman. The Mishnah said there was an Aman Ama of space in the Hechal when you walk in on the floor, like almost like a tile that had a ring on it. Remember, they would pick it up, and underneath was the dirt, and they would take the dirt from there and mix it into the water. Right? That's what the whole goal is. And then, if you remember in the Mishnah, it said they would put it notena farmi tachtav from underneath this piece of tile. Vinotein kedeshi yira'e alamayim. You have to have it seen in the water, enough dirt that you can see the dirt in the water. So we're going to get to all this today. So makom hayasham ama, we're down now 8 lines from the bottom with the 2 dots. Tana Rabbanan. Umin ha'afar asher yihyeh. So now we're going to see a few different brachot. You can see from the sheet. Here, take the sheet. I charted out the different opinions. Here, first brachot goes like this. Umin ha'afar asher yihyeh. Yachol yitakeh mibachutz v'yachnis. You might have thought that you could, this we started with yesterday, you might have thought that you could take dirt from outside and bring it in, and then, min afar asher yihyeh, it's there because you brought it. Talmud lomar, bekarka hamishkan. No, it says, asher yihyeh bekarka hamishkan. So you need it to be from the ground. So therefore, we learn, lo yitakeh mibachutz v'yachnis. But I bekarka hamishkan, if it has to be from karka hamishkan, yachol yachpor bekar domot. You might have thought that if the ground is too hard, that you should break it up with a spade. Talmud lamar, asher yihyeh. Now, asher yihyeh means it has to be there. So now what do? If it's not there, we're not capable of being used, but yet you can't bring it from the outside, so what do? Ha-ketzad, how does this work? Yesham havei, ein sham tein. If it's there, if you have, then bring from what you have. And if you don't, then bring from the outside. Okay, so ideally it should be from karka mishkan, but if you don't have in karka mishkan, you don't have to start breaking it up with kardamot. You can bring from outside. That's the first opinion. Tanya idach, the second braita, goes like this. Umin ha'afar asher yihyeh, melamed, shaya metakeh mibachutz umachnis. Because it says min ha'afar asher yihyeh, it sounds like you just need afar to be there. So you can bring it from the outside and bring it to the inside. Bekarka mishkan, what do you do with the words bekarka mishkan? Okay, on the chart I accidentally left those words in there, they don't belong. What do you do with the words bekarka mishkan? So now we're going to have 2 different opinions in this braita. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, because remember, before we said karka mishkan means it has to be brought from karka mishkan. Now we're saying it doesn't have to be brought from karka mishkan. So what do we do with karka mishkan according to this opinion? So again, 2 opinions. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, lahavi karka shilo nov v'giv'on ubeit olamim. So what does Isi ben Yehuda say? It means that it's not just karka mishkan. Karka mishkan comes to teach you not only karka mishkan, but it could be from Shiloh, Nov, Giv'on. Okay, remember where all these places were? These were places where, well, not exactly. We're going to see in a minute. Okay, this is actually a difficult passage, and some people have a different version of it. Because if we say it's all the mishkan, well, then you don't need a special pasuk to teach it. If it's mishkan, it should be mishkan wherever the mishkan is. So Shiloh actually had a proper mishkan. Nov and Giv'on were places where they just had a mizbeach. It wasn't actually the Mishkan. So some people say that Shiloh doesn't belong here. Other people say, and some people say, no, it comes to teach you that the Mishkan, it's not where the Mishkan started, so therefore it includes other Mishkans that existed. Some people say it doesn't mean any of this, and it really, the Nusach should just read Ubeit Olamim. It comes to teach you not where the Mishkan was or things that were like the Mishkan when it traveled, but really the Beit Olamim. What's the Beit Olamim? The Beit HaMikdash. In other words, the Beit HaMikdash is in place of the Mishkan. Okay, there's even different nuscha. It's a little bit problematic why you even need to include all these things, because obviously they're all Mishkan, and some people have even a different version. But anyway, we'll stick with this. So he says that Bekarka Mishkan doesn't come to tell you, remember where we are, that the dirt has to be from the ground of the Mishkan, actually. But Karka Mishkan comes to teach you that it's not only the Mishkan, but any other place where the Mizbeach was. Or, you know, that there was like a Beit HaMikdash. Isi ben Menachem Omer, second option within this, what Karka Mishkan comes to teach you. Isi ben Menachem Omer, eno tzarich, you don't need to teach that, it's unnecessary. Why? Uma betumakala lochi lekakatuv betumat lochi lekakatuv. When it comes to general tum'ah, that you get, if you go to the Beit HaMikdash with tum'ah, you get karet, right? So if you go to the Beit HaMikdash tameh, you get karet. If you go to the, right, and where does that come from? It comes from the psukim in the Torah that talked about the Mishkan. So obviously, we don't distinguish between the Mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash in general when it comes to even Tumah Kala. So therefore, B'tumat Eshet Ish Chamura Lo Kol Shekein. Okay, obviously, Tumah Chamura, we certainly wouldn't have an issue. Oh, now I remember one of the things they brought up about Novin Givon. The reason why some people say, some people say that Novin Givon doesn't belong in this version. Why? Because in Novin Givon, there was just a Mizbeach, they didn't do the Sota. There was no sota, so you can't even say that it comes to include that if you're doing the sota, you would take it from the karka of Novin Givon, because it wasn't even sota there. They just had a mizbeach. It wasn't like a mishkan that they could actually do the sota works. Other people say, no, they actually could have done it. There's like a whole machloket about whether you could even do it in these places, and therefore that's part of the nusach about whether we include them or not, because if you can't actually have a sota procedure done, well, then obviously there's no reason to say that the pasuk is coming to include that. If it's not even done there. So there's a whole discussion in the Rishonim, whether it could have been done, whether it couldn't have been done, and what the nusach is here. Okay, so problem with the text a little bit. So Issa ben Menachem says, there's absolutely no reason to bring in that, just like it could be done in the Mishkan, it could be done in these, you could do it in these other places, because it's obvious. We never distinguish, right? Have you ever heard of a distinction that something that can be done in the Mishkan can't be done in the Beit HaMikdash? No such thing. So therefore, he says we can't accept that as a reason. So im kein ma tamud lamar bekarka mishkan shelo yavi mitoch kupato. What does that mean? It means you can't bring it. You can't bring it in your own kli. I think it has to be, what you have to do is, if let's say that, it's ideally take from Karka Mishkan, but if not, you can't bring it from the outside in your kupa and bring it. You have to actually bring it inside, put it on the ground of the Mishkan, and then lift it up. In other words, it has to come from Karka Mishkan. It doesn't mean that that's the source, that the source is the Karka Mishkan. The source could be from outside, but it has to be brought inside, put on the floor of the Mishkan, and then lift it up. It can't be like in a box on the floor, or in a bowl or a basket or something like that. You have to actually put it on the floor and then pick it up from the floor. Okay, it has to somehow come in contact with the floor. That's his opinion. Okay, so now we had, right, the first braita said you can't bring outside dirt unless you have absolutely no choice, if there isn't anything in the Beit HaMikdash. And the other opinion is, no, you're allowed to, as long as it either, according to one opinion, touches the floor of the Mishkan. According to the other opinion, it doesn't even need to do that. You could actually just bring it in from the outside, and Karka Mishkan comes to just teach you that we can do this anywhere, right? That you bring it whether you're in any other location that's like a Mishkan. Okay, now we're going to have another question. Ibayelahu, they asked a question. Ain sham afar. Let's say there is no afar. Okay, remember it says mina afar shiriya. Okay, afar means really dust. Okay, so let's say you don't have. Mao shiitain afer. Can you take ashes and use ashes instead? Okay, now this is a strange, right? We're mixing afer and afar, right? They if you're not reading this inside, right? Afar is with an ayin and afer is with an aleph. They're two different things, right? One is dust and one is ashes. Now you might say there's a bit of a similarity between them, but really they're two different things. So now they're going to say maybe you can use ashes instead. Now why would they even think you could use ashes? What does this remind us of? When do we use ashes? When do we mix ashes into water? In what tekes? In the Para Aduma. Okay, so I'm going to read you the pasuk now. If you look at Bamidbar, Perek Yutet, Pasuk Yuzayin, it's on your sheet that I made today. V'lakhu latameh me'afar srefata chatat v'nata mayim chayim al keli. So they would take for the tameh from, now this is a weird pasuk. It says afar with an ayin, which means dust, but it clearly doesn't mean afar with an ayin, because what are you doing? You're taking me'afar srefata chatat, from the burning of the chatat. You're taking the ashes from it. And then you put it, Natan Alav Mayim Chayim Al Keli, then you put it with this Mayim Chayim that we saw the other day, right? This fresh water, into a kli. So now there's a machloket there, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, about whether you can learn from here that afar and afer are interchangeable, because here they're talking about afar, but they really mean afer, they really mean ashes. Or, and that's Beit Hillel, but Beit Shammai says no. There it says afar sreifa tachatat. Only when it says afar sreifa does it mean ashes, because that's ashes. But when it just says afar by itself, it doesn't mean ashes. Okay? So there's machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel about that. So that's the background to what we're going to hear now.
So Mara, I'm going to get into why she has, why this whole afar thing.
Why it says afar instead of afer, or
no? Why in general?
Why you need to put the dust right? That's a good question. Why you specifically need to put dust from the ground right? It's a good question.
Because it connects kind of to the Adam and Chava story, you know, the whole where afar is mentioned over and over again, and the whole sofa makes sense with it. You know, the temptation and the man, you know, the woman's desire for men. It's just like the whole afar.
And the man comes from the ground, and
right,
interesting. Right, some the concept of, that's interesting.
And Adam and Chava were mentioned earlier in the Gemara too.
Right, so that's a good idea about connecting the afar that they put into Adam and Chava, and the afar mentioned there, and the afar from creation, the man is created from afar. Right, I assume that sounds like a very good connection.
But what if it's also because it's very demeaning?
Right, it connects with that idea that man is nothing. That's the whole idea, that man just comes from dirt and goes back to dirt, right? And that this woman is exactly, she's demeaned the whole concept of humanity, of relationships, of Adam and Chava, you know. Right, and that's the idea of, I assume, of putting, I think it's a very good idea, of putting the afar into the, yeah. Okay, so now, so what if ein sham afar mao sheitein efer? So can you put ashes? Aliba de Beit Shammai, lo tibayelach. We're not even going to ask this question according to Beit Shammai. De Amre, because what did they say? Lo matzinu efer shekaroy afar, right? We never see efer that's called afar unless it says, right, efer, you know, this doesn't say this here, but unless it's efer sreifa, afar sreifa. Ki tibayelach, but our question is, aliba de Beit Hillel. De Amre, matzinu efer shekaroy afar. As they say, no, here you have, efer could be called afar. So according to Beit Hillel, will we be allowed to in this case? Now, why would there even be a question? If he says you can call, they're interchangeable, so why would there be a question? So here's the question. My, af al gav di ikre afar, ha cha bikar ha mishkan ktiv. That's even though efer and afar are interchangeable, here it says from the ground of the mishkan, which would seem to imply dirt, right? Dust from the ground. O dilma, hi, bekarka mishkan, l'chadisi ben Yehuda, l'chadisi ben Menachem Hudaate. Or do you say no? It doesn't remember. According to Isi ben Yehuda and Isi ben Menachem, that machloket, right? So look back at the chart here in the second braita. Their machloket said the karka mishkan doesn't mean we take the afar from the karka mishkan. It came to teach us something else. Either it came to teach us that we learn from here to other Mishkanim and the Beit HaMikdash, or it comes to teach us that we learn that you can't bring it in a box, right? It has to actually come in contact with the ground, but not that it means it has to come from the ground, and therefore we could say that it could be Afer, because the Karka Mishkan doesn't define, it's very simple, Karka Mishkan doesn't define what it is we're taking, it doesn't define the Afar, it has to do with what we do with the Afar, or where we do the Afar. So therefore, if you say that, then you could say it could still be Afer. So now they're going to say Tashma. Let's learn it from here. De'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Bishlosha mekomot halacha okevet mikra. Okay, there's three places where the halacha, now here's an interesting word, okevet. What does it mean, okevet? Okevet, we usually mean it means to follow, because like footsteps. But here it obviously doesn't mean to follow. It means, so one person says it has a, it means the heel. When the heel gets stuck in the ground and you pick it up from the ground, it's like it uproots, you know, like comes out of the ground. And there's it basically, the parshanut here is that it overrides the pasuk. Another nusach, which is a better nusach, says it's okefet. It circumvents, you know, goes around. It bypasses would be the good word. Okay? Halacha bypasses the pasuk. So where do we see this? Okay, here I charted it out for you so you could see all the pasukim because they don't show them inside. HaTorah amra be'afar, v'halacha b'chol davar. I'm just going to read the whole thing and we'll see. The halacha, in each case they're going to say, the halacha is very specific about a certain type of thing. And in the end, the halacha, okay, which a lot of the mafreshim say, the halacha here is halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. Okay, we have a tradition that it doesn't have to be just with that one item, the pasuk says. It could be with anything. Okay, HaTorah amra b'ta'ar, v'halacha b'chol davar. HaTorah amra b'sefer, v'halacha b'chol davar. So here are the three pesukim. The first one is Vayikra Yudzayim Pasuk Yigimo, when it has to do with covering the blood. When you shecht an animal, you're supposed to cover the blood. Okay? Ish ish mibnei Yisrael minagir agar b'tocham, asher yatsu tzed chaya o'of, asher ye'achel, v'shafach et amo v'kisao ba'afar. You're supposed to cover it with afar. So the halacha is, it's not just afar, it could be anything. You have to just cover it. The next pasuk is a very familiar one to us from Nazir. Kol yimei perek vav pasuk heyev b'midbar. Kol yimei neder nizro ta'ar lo yavor rosho. He cannot cut his hair in any way. With a razor. But we know that he can't cut it in any way, right? Even with scissors or anything else. Third pasuk from Dvarim Kaf Dala pasuk aleph. This will be very familiar to us in the next Masechet in Gitin. Ki kach ish ishau ba'ala, if he marries a woman, b'hayam lo timsachem be'enav, and she doesn't find favor in his eyes, ki matza be'ervat davar, he finds something, some erva among her. We'll darshan that pasuk very well when we get to Gitin. V'katav la sefer kritut, he writes to her a book of kritut. Kritut means a separation book. Okay? Sounds like a sefer. It has to be on a cloth. Okay? That's what a sefer is in the Torah. Okay? In Yirmiyahu, he writes a sefer. It's always a cloth. V'halacha b'chol davar, he can write it on a fig leaf. He can write it on, okay, there's all sorts of things. We're going to see it in Gittin. All sorts of things that you're allowed to write a get on. Okay, so therefore, we see that in three places, the halacha overrides the pasuk. Now, what's the connection to us? Vim ita, and if it was true in this pasuk that it doesn't actually have to be afar, but it could be afer or something else, lichshuv nami. This should have been listed as another one of those things, okay? So the fact that it's not listed must mean that you can't use anything other than afar. That's the first assumption here. So now, if you remember, we've had this structure many times. If there's a list, and the list includes certain things, it doesn't include other things, so usually we try to say, oh, the list doesn't include it, it must not be included. And then, what do we say as a response? Hi, Tana Bashir. This Tana listed a list, but he left out some things. Now, the rule is, if you're going to have a list and you leave out one thing, you can never just leave out one thing. In other words, if there's four things, and this is one of them, and he only wrote three, and he left out one, that's not reasonable. It doesn't make any sense. But if he left out a bunch of things, and we can show that there's more than one thing that he left out, okay, so now they're going to ask that question. Umay shir de hai shir. And what else is left out that you could say, well, he left out a few things. He didn't just leave out one thing. So what else did he leave out? Now, there's a rule here. If he lists things and he doesn't list everything, so that's fine, as long as there's a few things he left off the list. But if he only left one thing off the list, he can't say that was left off the list. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, so therefore, we'd have to say it's an incomplete list, but it has to be incomplete by two items. Okay? It's almost like when you're playing ping pong, you have to win, you know, tennis, you have to win by 2 points, you know. In other words, it's not enough of a distinction to make it a real win. So here also, it's not enough of a distinction to say, well, he left out some things. Because if he left out only one thing, it doesn't make sense. So therefore, they want to know, so what else was left out if you're going to make this claim? Every time we've had this Tana Bashir, we always have this. The next question is always, and what's the thing he left off? Shiyer Mitzora, he left off Mitzora. What about Mitzora did he leave off? D'tanya, now we're going to have a little while till we get to the answer. D'tanya, here's a braita. This is going to be somewhat familiar, but you'll see the end is a surprise ending because it's different from what we saw last time. Okay, we remember our klal ukratu klal and riboy mi'ut v'riboy. Okay, we're going to get back to that today. V'haya b'yam ha'shvi'i yigalech et kol sa'aro. Remember, the Mitzora has two shavings. The first shaving, he shaves off everything on his body. Then he waits these 7 days. And on the seventh day, he shaves, it says again, kol sa'aro, which is klal, right? Includes everything. Et rosho ve'et zgano ve'et gabot enav is prat. Then the pasuk continues, right? It says all his hair. And then it tells us, well, which hair? His head, his beard, and his eyebrows. Perit prat, so that's a prat. Then it says again, ve'et kol sa'aro yigalech, chazar v'klal. So now what do we have here? Clearly we have a klal u'pratu klal. And what's the rules of klal u'pratu klal? Iatadan ela ke'en haprat. If you have a klal pratu klal, then the rules are, it's only things, yes, it includes more than what it says in the pasuk, but only things that are like the details. Okay, so now, what's like the details? Here, this is going to be different from what we saw before. Ma prat miforash makom kinus se'ar v'nire. It has to be a place where there's a large concentration of hair. Okay, your eyebrows, your beard, your head. There's a large concentration of hair. And it's nir'eh. It's very visible. Okay? So therefore, what parts of his body does he have to shave? Only things that have those criteria. Av kol makom kinu se'ar v'nireh. So mein rabe se'ar haraglayim. So what does it include? It includes se'ar of the legs. Now this doesn't really mean the legs. It means of his private parts, okay? Because even though his private parts are hidden generally, but if he weren't wearing clothing, it would be very noticeably obvious. You would see his hair there. But mein mi'eit debet hashechi. But underarm hair, it might be kanus, right? It's concentrated, but nobody sees it. If you don't have any clothes on and you're not lifting your arms up in the air, right? You're standing naturally, you wouldn't see that hair. And therefore, that hair of his body, he doesn't shave. Okay? And obviously, also, dekule gufe. In other words, all hair, arm hair, leg hair, okay? All those hairs, those might be noticeable, but they're not mechunasim. There's not a high concentration of hair in them. Okay? So therefore, what do we learn from this? That the Metzora doesn't actually shave all the hair of his body, right? There's certain parts of his body where he doesn't need to shave them. So now they say, that's the way we learned it out from the Pasuk. But, v'hilcheta migalech kedalat. But, despite this, remember, what are we trying to prove? That Metzora, where were we? Do you remember? Metzora is a case where the halacha okevet or okefet mikra. Now, what's the mikra according to this? The mikra tells us, right, this klal upratu klal, right, that you don't have to shave, right, beit hashechi and shara guf, we'll call it, okay, like regular body hair, okay, that, you know, you don't have to shave them. So that's the mikra. That learns, it's learned out from the klal upratu klal. But what's the halacha? Okay, there's a weird analogy, like a gourd, okay, like a pumpkin or one of those kind of, you know, in that family. It means you shave the entire, it's smooth, right? It's smooth on the outside. You shave the entire body, so it's smooth like a gourd. So now, how do we know this? Okay, so therefore, what does that prove? Halacha, right? Okefet mikra, because the halacha is you shave, right? Megaleach hakol. Okay, you shave everything. So now, that would include this in our list of things. So how do we know this, that you're megaleach kedalat? It's not. Balo lahakifet ha-mitzora, when he goes to shave the mitzora, ma'avir tara kol besaro. V'katani seifa, u'bayom ha-shvi'i, and it says there at the end of that Mishnah, u'bayom ha-shvi'i megalcho, tiglachat shniyah ketiglacha rishona. That's when it described the first tiglacha, what did it say? His entire body. When it says the second, it says, oh, well, the second's like the first. So there you have it. The halakha overrides the mikra. Now, here it's a little different because why? It's a mikra, that's because it's not the pasuk itself doesn't actually say that, right? But it's learned out from the klal upratu klal. Okay? Yeah.
If you have a mishnah, doesn't it override the braita? Don't we just know it from, like, you have this braita, this mishnah overrides this braita. Why did they even bring this braita? If you know you have the mission, it's overriding.
Well, what they're saying, it's not that it's overriding. They're saying, this is a case where if you took just the pasuk, you would assume that you don't shave the beit hashechi and the rest of the body. But the halacha comes and overrides that understanding of the pasuk.
So the braita illustrates that.
So the mishnah, well, the braita illustrates what we learn from the pasuk, and the mishnah tells you what we're doing lahalacha. In other words, according to this reading, it's a weird reading, but it's saying that braita is not a halacha. In other words, that braita is a drasha, and we disagree with the drasha. The rabbis came and said that the halacha overrides the drasha, basically. Okay? You're right, there's a little, and we'll see after that they understand it a little differently after. But now we're going to have three answers as to why this wouldn't be considered halacha okevet mikra, or okevet mikra, however you want to read it. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, ki kachashiv halacha okevet mikra. Okay, this was all, remember, we wanted, what do we want here? We want to get an answer to our question. Is afar, can afar be used also, right? So we can only say afar can be used, and what's the problem? It's not on this list of halacha okevet mikra. So if that's the case, then what do we have? We need to have also mitzora, right? A case of halacha okevet mikra. Okay, we want to have this a case of halacha okevet mikra. And then we'll have a proof that just like by mitzora, we can then say by afar also, and therefore we can say that we're just a few things missing from the list. Now we're going to say that mitzora is not a case of halacha okevet mikra, in which case we don't have any proof about our afar and afar.
If you show more than one thing that's missing from the list, then therefore you can say...
You can assume. Right, you can say he left it off the list. Right.
And if it's only one thing, then it was...
If it's only one thing, then it clearly...
It's intentional, it's exclusive.
Right, and then it wouldn't be the case. Okay? So now, he says, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Ki kachashiv halacha okevet mikra, ha okevet midrabanan hi. This is not a typical case of halacha okevet mikra, because it's a drasha. It's midrabanan. In other words, the halakha that you wanted to derive from the pasuk, it's not that the pasuk says it, like the pasuk in the other case said ta'ar, right? And it meant more than just ta'ar. Here, it's not that the pasuk said it, it was the rabbis learning it from the pasuk. It's only derabanan. That's not a case of halakha okevet mikra. It's halakha okevet mikra means halakha is okevet d'oraita. This is only a derabanan. Now, this raises huge problems. Why? There's a whole machlag between the Rambam and the Ramban about whether... When you learn from the Yugim Omido, this is one of the Yugim Omido, does that make the halacha on a de'oraita level? Because it's Yugim Omido, the Tajarani Dureshe Bahin, or is it on a de'orabanan level? If you say it's on a de'orabanan level, then this works very well. If you say it's on a de'oraita level, then you have a problem with this Gemara. Some people actually say that the Nusach is different to answer that up, and they say it's not that it's midrabanan, how kevet midrabanan, it's how kevet midrasha. That even if you say it's d'oraita, there's a difference between learning it from a word in the Torah and learning it from a drasha from the Torah, even if you say it's in a d'oraita level. So that's how they'd have to read this interpretation, otherwise it doesn't make sense.
Well, how anyway, did you learn the other things on the list, meaning the ta'ar?
So they say it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai.
Not that you need a drasha to learn it? But
well, you didn't know. No. There's two things here. One is what you think the simple meaning of the Torah is, and then what... Then we're overriding it. All of them were overridden by halacha l'moshe m'sinai, by a masoret. But the question is, what did the Torah say? The Torah said ta'ar. Pshat is, ta'ar is a razor. Right? The Torah said afar. Pshat is, you have to cover it with afar. The Torah said, what was the third one? Sefer. Halacha has to be a sefer. So those are all clear references from the Torah. Whereas this is only learned out that it's not Beit HaShechi and Shaar HaGuf from... A drasha. That's already different from the pshat. Okay? Now, Rav Papa Amar, here's second answer. Ki kachashiv halacha okevet ve'okeret. Ha okevet umosefeti. When we say it's okevet, it means it's okevet ve'okeret, and it uproots it. Meaning you can use something entirely different. You don't have to use afar, you can use afer. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be, the isser isn't with a razor, it could be with anything. That's totally different. In this case, we're not saying that the mitzvah does something different. We're just saying he adds to it. In addition to shaving all the hair that's kanus and noticeable, right? We're going to add to it that you're going to shave everything. That's different. That's not uprooting. That's just adding. That's a whole different thing. That's second answer. Remember, these are all answers to show that it's not a case of halacha okevet or okevet mikra, and therefore afar wouldn't be afar. You know, you can't prove that afar would be the same as afar. Rav Ashi amar, Hamatnita mane. Now this goes back to Shari's reading of it, which is, why are you bringing a braita against a mishnah? Now, Shari, you were pointing it out that, well, we always go by the mishnah of a braita, which is generally true. But here they're saying it differently. They're going to say, but it's the same line of thinking. Hamatnita mane, Rabbi Yishmael hi, didarish klali prate, kidlat mane, Rabbi Akiva hi, didarish rivoy miute. Okay, what are we going to say basically? These are two different schools of thoughts. Don't bring this, it's not that One is showing the halakha, the mikra, and the other is the halakha, which is okeved mikra, which was a weird way of saying it, because there's a braita, there's a mishnah. The braita is the school of Rabbi Ishmael, and the mishnah is the school of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva didn't have this klal of prat uklal, because he uses ribuy miu. Now we're going to see in a minute where ribuy miu will take him in this case, okay? But ribuy miu, what we're going to show is basically, wouldn't take you to the place that we're going to exclude Beit HaShafi and Shaar HaGuf. In which case, according to him, there is no learning from the Torah itself that the halacha overrides. No, not at all. You regalech hakol, because that's what comes out of the psukim. Okay, in which case, there's clearly no any overriding of anything else. So now, what's Rabbi Akiva? Didarish ribuy miute, ditanya. Here's a braita. Vaya bayom ha-shvi'i yigalech et kol sa'aro. Riba, right? That's a, he shaves all his hair, that's a ribuy. It includes. Et roshovet kanovet gabot enav. Mi eight, it excludes. Bet kol saro yigalech, hazar v'riba. Now, fine, it's the same thing. Klal prat klal, riboy mi riboy. But what's the difference? There's a different, we do something different with a riboy mi ut v'riboy, v'riba, than we do with a klal prat klal. Riba mi eight v'riba, riba hakol. Right? As opposed to the klal pratu klal iatadan elaka ena prat, it gets defined by the prat. Here it's the opposite. If you're riboy, then you're mema'et, and then you're riboy again, you include more. What do we say? You're going to include everything, basically. Now, it's not exactly true, everything, because you're going to have to be mema'et something, but the basic gist is we're going to be more inclusive than exclusive. Okay? The klal pratu klal is we're going to be exclusive and have it only things that are like the prat. The riboy mi'utu riboy means we're going to be inclusive of everything, except we're going to exclude something very minor. Okay, so elamai riba. So what did he? What's the riboy? Riba de kule gufe. Exactly what we said. You're mirabe everything on the body. In which case, the halacha works together with the mikra. It's not overriding it. Umai mi'et mi'et se'ar shebetocha chotem. We're getting rid of what's that? Nostril hairs. Okay. Because, right, exactly. Those are things that are really not seen, right, and not, and they're, you know, those, that's what we're going to be mi'et, but not other things. Okay. In which case, we're still stuck with our question. In other words, we try to use this whole mahalach as an answer to the question, and in the end, we don't have an answer to the question. We don't know. So my havela, and just be prepared, we're not going to have an answer, okay? They're going to try one more attempt. Tashma, let's learn it from here. Da'amarav huna barashi amarav. Ein shamafar mivi rak vuvit yerek. So what is this? This is like rotten vegetables. Like once they rot, you can bring that and use it. Because it's like, you know, it's like afar. It's from the ground. You know, you could say these vegetables, like rotten vegetables, and you can use that. Again, it's kind of gross, right? Very, very disgusting. So then they say, and that teaches you that just like you can use rak vuvit yerek, you can also use afer. So they say, no, velohi. Rakbuvit yerek hu dehave afar. Efer lo have afar. You can say that rakbuvit yerek, what is it really? It's like the ground ends up, right, compost. And it gets mixed up with the ground, like it is the ground. It comes from the ground. Whereas efer has nothing to do with the ground. So therefore, you can't use this to prove anything. So we're left with a question. Basically, we don't have an answer. Okay, now we're moving on to the next part, which is that when you put this afar or efer, right, however you're going to answer that question, which we don't have an answer to. I assume, by the way, I didn't look this up, but if you don't have an answer, I have to assume that you can't use the afer because we don't know that it can be used, so therefore, not. You know, I wouldn't recommend using it. I wouldn't recommend getting into this whole thing anyway. So, okay, so now it has to be put in the water in a way that you can see it. Tana Rabbanan, Shloshat Srichim Sheyiru. There's three things that when you put them or mix them, we'll see they're not all mixtures. They have to be seen. What are they? The afar sota, the afer para, here we again connect them, okay, the ashes and the para have to be seen, visible, in the water. Birok yivama. Okay, we saw this in Yivamot, if anyone remembers, that when she spits on the shoe, the zkenim have to see the spit. Okay, it comes from a pasuk. We're going to, I think they quote it. Can't remember if they quote it, but it's the pasuk is lav le'ene hazkenim. Okay, according to their view, in other words, they have to actually see the spit itself. They have to be able to see it. So now we'll see. Yivama mishum Rabbi Yishmael amru af dam tzipur. Rabbi Yishmael adds also the blood of the bird. Remember from the mitzora, you shech the bird and you put it in the water. Also, the blood has to be visible. My time is the Rabbi Ishmael. By the way, most of this has to do with quantity, right? How much you add so that it can be seen, right? If you add just a little bit of something to water, it might, you know, not be noticeable. Though blood, you have to wonder, right? Maybe like a bit drop of blood won't be seen, but a little bit more than that is already going to be seen. But some of the other things, I guess, you could see would be less visible. So my time to Rabbi Ishmael. So why does he add this Dam Tzipor? Dichtiv. Now we're going to have a back and forth as to why he thinks Dam Tzipor does have to be seen, and the Chachamim say it doesn't need to be seen. V'taval otam b'dam tzipor v'chulei. V'tanya, and here's the Braita. B'dam, yachol b'dam, v'lo b'mayim. Right, it says you have to dip this Eitz Erez Ezov, right? You have to put all this stuff. As what do? You mix, you dip it all into, that you make this mixture of the blood with the water, and then you dip it into there. So now, you might have thought it's just b'dam, v'lo b'mayim, and it doesn't need the water. Talmud lomar, b'mayim. Therefore, it says on the pasuk. Okay, sorry, I didn't bring the pasuk on your sheet, but if you have the Torah, or it says it. V'lakachet et ha'erez ve'et ha'ezov ve'et shnia tolat ve'et ha'tzipor ha'chaya v'taval otam b'dam ha'tzipor ha'shchuta uva'mayim ha'chayim. It's very strange what it says here, if you notice. It doesn't say put the dam in the water and then dip it in. What does it say? It says dip it into the dam and the water. So here's going to be the different ways of reading it. So you might have thought you just dip it in dam and not in water. Therefore, it says b'mayim, to know that you have to dip it in the blood and the water. Ibamayim, yachol b'mayim v'lo b'dam. If it had just said water, you would have thought maybe you just have to dip it in the water and not in the dam. Talmud lomar b'dam. So again, haketzad. How would this work? Mevi mayim shedam tzipor nikar b'hem v'kama rivi'it. In other words, they list them separately to show you that they have to be visible, the water and the dam. Okay, that you have to be able to see them. And therefore, you have to bring enough water, or the amount of water, that the blood of the tzipor will be noticeable in them. Okay, and that's a revit of water. For Rabbanan, so what do Rabbanan do with the pasuk then? How do they understand why it's separated like that? Hahu legufe, you need it for itself. Dahachi kama rachmana. At bil b'dam u'b'mayim. It's telling you that it has to be dipped. And Rabbanan just say simply, it's just telling you it has to be dipped in blood and it has to be dipped in water. So now we're going to still have a back and forth. So it didn't really explain it so well yet. Rabbi Ishmael, in kain lichtov rachmana, v'taval b'hem, b'damu b'mayim. Sorry, v'taval b'hem, b'damu b'mayim lamali. In other words, again, you have the problem. Why are they listed separately? If the whole idea is to dip it in them together, so it just should have said, and you dip in them. But why does it specifically say, Badam hatzipor shkuta uva mayim hachayim? So lamali linikar, right? Obviously, Rabbi Ishmael is going back to say to Chachamim. Obviously, it means it has to be the dam and the. And if you had just said and you dip it in them, it'll be obvious that you need a mixture, right? But a mixture isn't the same as saying you need a mixture where the blood and the water are noticeable. So again, Rabbi Ishmael says, I can prove to you from the fact that dam and mayim are listed separately is that they need to each be noticeable. V'rabbanan, so what are Rabbanan going to say to that? Ikatav rachmana v'taval b'hem, hava amina, hai l'chude v'hai l'chude. Katav rachmana b'damu b'mayim, le'arvan. So he says, if it had just said, dip it in them, you could have thought it has to be dipped in the water and it has to be dipped in the blood. The fact that it says this is a little opposite of the pshat, right? Because the pshat says, tavalotam b'dam tzipor uva mayim hachayim, which almost sounds like they're listed separately. But his point is, since they're listing both of them, you know that you have to list it, they have to be mixed, and not each one separately. Kasher rachmana b'damu b'mayim le'arvan. It teaches you specifically that they have to be mixed together. Rabbi Ishmael la'arvan krach rinaktiv. Where does he learn that they have to be mixed? He learns it from a different pasuk, because it says, v'shachat et ha'tzipora achat al kli cheres al mayim chayim. It already tells you, right, this is the pasuk before. The pasuk directly before said, you shech the bird, right, el kli cheres al mayim chayim. What does that sound like? You shech the bird and the blood goes into the cup, the kli. So now what are Rabbanan going to say? Why can't he learn from there that they're mixed? Which Rabbanan says, Imeahu hava mina lishchete samuch lemana. Maybe it means that you do it where it doesn't exactly say put it in the kli. It says, v'shachat etzipor achat el kli cheres amayim chayim. Which sounds like maybe you need this kli cheres with mayim chayim. And right alongside it, you shech the bird. Okay? But what do? Nan kitinu livridin ulekabla ledam b'man achmina. But you keep your finger, while you shecht it, you keep your finger on the vein so that the blood doesn't come out. And then you let go of it and you put it somewhere else. In other words, you shecht it right near the kli, but you don't let the blood go into the kli. And it's not clear that you actually have to put the blood in the kli from that pasuk. So therefore, you might have thought, Ninkatinu Livridim, right? You hold the veins, and you put the dam in a different bowl, and then you would have thought you dip them separately. So therefore, the next pasuk comes to say, you dip it in the blood and the water to teach you that the blood and the water go together. Okay, and that they have to be mixed together. Again, it's a little bit of strange, Chachamim, because it dafka doesn't say in that pasuk together. Right?
It's as big.
Right.
As
it's a weak, person. It's a weak, it's a bit of a weak argument. Kamashmalan. Okay, and that's what it comes to teach you. Okay, next question. Ba'amine Rabbi Yirmiyami Rabbi Zeira. Okay, Rabbi Yirmiya asked this question. He always, by the way, asks these kind of questions. We've talked about this before. Rabbi Yirmiya asks a little bit nunicky questions. What if? Okay, more of these what if questions. What if it's gdola umatcheta tamayim? What if you have a gigantic bird that the blood is so plentiful that it cancels out the water? That basically, and that's, what's the question? It cancels out the water. You don't see the water anyway when blood mixes in, but I assume dam is thicker. So instead of it being this thick, bloody mixture, right, it once it's mixed with water, it's much more diluted. So you can tell it's mixed with water. But if there's so much blood that it overcomes the, right, think about it, a lot of blood and a ravid of water is a very small amount. In the end, it'll just look like blood. Or, what if it's so small and you can't even see it in the water? Mahu. Like, are you not allowed to shecht a bird that's so teeny that the blood will be so small? Or so great that the blood will be so plentiful? So here's his answer. Okay, this is, you see how people got annoyed by his niniki questions. Amar le, lava mina lecha lo tapik nafshe levar mehilchata? Didn't I tell you, don't start asking things outside of halakha, or it's not clear 100% what he's saying, but he's saying, don't give me problems with these kind of questions. B'tzipor dror sheru chachamim. Ein lecha gdola shematcheta tamayim, ve'ein lecha ktana shenitcheta b'pnei amayim. In other words, the rabbis gave shirim, don't start asking things about them. The rabbis said you're supposed to use a tzipor dror, like a free bird. Okay, I don't know exactly what type of bird it is, but it's a particular type bird. And there is no such thing as a teeny bird that's a tzipor dror, and there's no such thing as a gigantic bird. They're medium-sized birds. In which case, you'll never have a question like this. So don't ask me questions like this. Okay. So, you know, we'll stop here for today. We're already over, and we'll pick up with this tomorrow. Okay. Friday, there's not going to be a shiur.